Well, good morning. Today at the Christian Education Adult Sunday School, we're going to be talking about how we disciple someone with hope. It is not uncommon for us as brothers and sisters to be in a situation where we are to disciple one another. There are lots of trials and suffering and trouble out there, and we've talked about that in the recent Christian Education Hours, as well as in the sermons, about trials and how trials come from God and how we respond to that trial, like in James 1, right? If we respond as a test, as the way we should respond, and we honor God with our response to that trial, then our faith endures. Our faith is shown to be strong. Our faith grows in Christ. Whereas if we respond by temptation and give in to that temptation and then fall into sin, then, you know, God will also help us through that and give us a way of escape. And we recognize that all sin, as it says in Corinthians, all sin is not inevitable. God always gives us a way to escape. It is common to man. So we don't have to give up just because we fall into temptation and even fall into a cycle of sin. And so in follow-up with that, as we are coming alongside other brothers and sisters within the church, we want to listen. We want to talk with them. We want to understand their struggles. We want to encourage them, and we want to leave them with hope, right? Hope is in Christ. Hope is a great confidence or an expectation. You've seen that in the past from Scripture. It is not just a hope like I roll the dice, but rather it's a hope and a confident expectation that God is faithful, has been faithful both past, present, and future. So let's take a look at Psalm 46:1, and we're going to read all of Psalm 46 this morning. Psalm 46 says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth should change, though the mountains slip into the heart of the sea, though the waters roar and foam, though the mountains quake at its swelling pride. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy dwelling places of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She will not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations made an uproar, and the kingdoms tottered. He raised his voice, and the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. Come, behold the works of the Lord, who has wrought desolations in the earth. He makes wars to cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariots with fire. Cease striving, and know that I am God. I will be exalted amongst the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. We are blessed by many psalms, including Psalm 46. Because as you can see, despite the difficulties and the challenges and even the changes with the structure of the earth itself, which have been prophesied to come and we know will come to pass between now and Christ's second coming, that we can have confidence, hope, secure that God is our refuge, He is our strength, and He will be a present help in trouble both today and tomorrow. That brings hope to those that are facing trials, those that are suffering, those that are struggling, right? So, as brothers and sisters, let's talk about how we can come alongside them. All right. First of all, what if someone does come to you who's grieving? Maybe they're facing trauma. There's been some abuse, perhaps, financial issues, brokenness that they've been struggled with, or even death. There's been a passing of a loved one, especially unexpected. Are you ready to hear this? Are you ready to actively listen and understand without giving too much advice? Right? We're going to talk about giving advice and when and how to do that. But first, we struggle with what to say, don't we? When someone's grieving, what can you say? Oftentimes we cannot say, I've been there. Yep, I understand what you're going through. Yeah, me too. No, that doesn't work. And frankly, that's not very helpful in most cases. But yet we are the body of Christ. Christ is the head. We are the body. We are the local church. We are the bride. He is the groom. We are to be equipped. This is what sanctification is about. This is what one of the purposes of the local church is. To be equipped in the body to do the work of Christ. Christ uses us as His means to bring about His counsel, His, let's say, His discipleship, to bring about His peace, His understanding, His consolation to those who are struggling, to all of us. And we've all been there, right? We've been on both sides of it. We've been in need, and we've been in situations where we've been able to disciple others who are struggling. So part of it is asking good, open-ended questions. We want to get them to understand, to articulate to them that we want to back them up, that we are here to listen and to understand and to help them through this process. We can't make it go away, and we can't necessarily make it easier. However, we are with them. Just like Christ will never leave them, we are the hands and feet of Christ. We do not leave them either. So, here's some questions for you. What happened to them? Right? What are they struggling with? When did it start? How has it escalated? Where is it at now? Okay? Are you truly listening to them? Have you heard? Have you understood? Have you processed? Have you even repeated back or asked additional questions with the information that's coming without putting them on trial, right? Right? That's part of listening. That's part of understanding. That's how you show that you care, how you're putting them first. They need to talk, and we need to listen. Right? Jesus Christ, in the time He was here, did an amazing job of consoling people and meeting them where they were at. Okay? We need to target to do the same thing, to have the heart of Christ toward them. Now, remember how it feels to lack hope. We've all been there. We've all lacked hope. Right? When we lack hope, we head ourselves into disillusionment, to spiritual depression. It's knocking at the door. It's right there. And we need someone to help us, not give us hope, but point us back to hope, the only place that we can find it, which is in God's Word, which is in Jesus Christ. That is the hope we're talking about. Right? Not false hope. So think about a time that you felt you had lacked hope. What was that like? What goes through your mind? So let's take a couple inputs from the group here on how you felt. Okay, I'm going to write these on the board. Here we go. Write these on your notes as well. Okay, I heard doubt. Yep, depressed. Discouraged. Angry. Good one. Bitterness. Fearful. Yeah. Disillusionment. And I guess I would add to this list, exhausted. worn out, insecure, maybe sometimes erratic, right? And ungrateful. Lots of uncertainty. Right? So we would call these presenting issues. Presenting issues. So if we look here on the board, it's important that when we see these things, we interpret this due to a lack of hope, right? There's many other ways we can interpret this, but that's why it's important that we really listen and ask good open-ended questions, seeking to understand and not give advice, right? So, as we look at the main points then from Psalm 26:1, right, just even the first verse, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Who is our refuge? God is. Who is our strength? God is. Who is our help? God is. When does his help come? It's present, right? And it's when we're in trial, we're in trouble. Right? And then we read the rest of the psalm, right? And some of the things that you guys are pointing out here as the main point is that we need to have hope. We need to trust in God. Right? Yeah, exactly. God is our stronghold. Exactly. We don't need to fear. As bad as it might get, right? The Lord of hosts is with us. Yes, verse 7. The Lord of hosts is with us. Absolutely. You look toward the end of the verse in Psalm 46. Yes, verse 10 in particular. Let's take a look at that. Cease striving and know that I am God. I will be exalted amongst the nations. So, again, there's a bigger picture in all this suffering and struggle. You know, God is sovereign, so he's in control, but he loves us. I mean, he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for us. I mean, how much more could you love someone, right? Especially when we were at enmity with him. We were his enemy. We wanted nothing to do with him. Yet, yep, in verse 10, cease striving and know that I am God. We are not to strive to solve our own problems. Now, there's a human responsibility aspect of it, but we are to strive in God, in Christ, through his means that are laid out in the Bible, through the local body. That is how that we know that we are in God. That is how we are to apply the means of God. That is how striving is to be, is through God's strength and our humility, our weakness. And God will be exalted amongst the nations. So it's all for our good and God's glory, even when that trial or that trouble doesn't seem, that tragedy, how can this be for our good? Well, we may never understand it, right? We've been down that path. Not on this side of the cross, at least, right? But it is for God's glory. We have to trust and believe in that. And so how would we know that, right? Well, look at number 3 on your outline. Defining hope is the confident expectation of past, present, and future blessings from God. Past, present, and future blessings from God. So where do we find those past blessings from God? Yeah, they're in the Bible. The Bible is full of God making promises and keeping those promises. His blessings are throughout all of the Old Testament and into the New Testament. God has kept his promises. God will keep. See, God is faithful. We are the ones who tend to be faithless at times, right? But thank God that God is faithful. He will always endure to the end. Right, so we can look at those milestones, right? Those rocks, those posts of remembrance that have been set up, even in our own lives. We can think back to many situations where we're clear that God was present and God moved and God has set that as a milestone in our lives, right? Yeah, so past, present, and future blessing. And of course, we see God now moving amongst us and His promises, God's promises. You can do a whole study just on God's promises of the Bible. Old Testament, New Testament. His promises are there. And for the church age in the New Testament, His promises and His prophecy are one and the same. Right? So we should study His prophecy. And we should be looking forward to the end. Be looking forward to what God says He will do and how He will be honored and glorified and how we will be with Him, saints in heaven, ruling with God. How fortunate we are to just be with Him, let alone have the righteousness of Christ. Right? But it goes further. Right? In number three there, I've listed some scripture, New Testament, Old Testament, and these are some great verses, and we're going to go ahead and take a look at and read some of these verses. Jeremiah 29, 9 through 14, right? Talks about wait. Yeah. Exactly. So thank you for reading that. 29, 9 through 14. Very good. Yeah, so we are to wait on God and not rush. Okay, Romans 15:13. Yeah. We are to trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Isaiah 40:31. Yes, we are to believe. Yep, we are to believe in the Lord. Sure, I'll read Psalm 145:15. Thank you guys for reading here. Let me flip to that page real quick. You're a little bit faster than I am. 145:15 says, "And the eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food in due time." Right? So we can expect from the Lord because of his promises, that He will keep His promises. Right? There's many more here. Yeah, Proverbs 14:26. Go ahead and read that. Exactly. Yep. We are assured in the Lord. And then Romans 5:1-5. Yep, I'm turning there too. Go ahead. Yeah, that one's a little bit longer. So we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Exactly. We have to have faith in His grace because of Christ's sacrifice for us. We are then justified, right? And justification talks about position, right? It's all about Christ and not about us. Exactly. In verse 3, we are to exalt in our tribulations, right? Tribulations is trials because it brings about perseverance and proven character. That's the sanctification that we've been talking about in James 1 most recently. And because the love of God is poured out within our hearts. So there's a lot in that. So we are to endure. But notice we endure by tribulation, by trial. Right? We would prefer to endure without it, right? Okay. So these are some good verses to go through with folks who are struggling. You don't have to go through all of them. I have this real nifty, here, let me hold it up for you. It's a list of different scriptures as an index, and you can pick these up. And this one here just basically says, you know, whatever the topic might be, love, marriage, divorce, worry, anxiety, anger, whatever it might be, and you can turn to the index and it gives you a bunch of verses. And what it does is for those of us that are not, don't have a lot of verses memorized and our Bibles aren't fully marked yet, we don't have to be fearful about not being able to find the right verse. Now, our goal is not to shove verses. I don't intend to say it that way. Our goal is not to just give people verses and walk away. right? But going to a couple of those verses, you might be able to determine which one might fit the situation you're in. God's Word and the Holy Spirit, with what He does with God's Word, is much more powerful than anything that we are going to come up with, even when we try to base our human wisdom on God's wisdom, right? So it's always good to get into Scripture. And we're going to talk about homework when we get to the end. Meaning, what do you leave them with after you've been talking and sharing and meeting and trying to disciple them, right? If you leave them with nothing, so to speak, that's not wise. We would suggest that you leave them with a couple of verses to look up, a couple of other things, and then do a follow-up in the next couple of days with them, right? Because truthfully, they need to unpack the situation they're in and what God's Word says about their situation, and they need to be the one to vocalize that, rather than us telling them. And that's really our goal here. All right, so let's take a look at number 4 in your outline. Ways to address hope when discipling. Yeah, ways to address hope when discipling. So we've got some blanks there. First one, under A, build confidence in God's Word. Build confidence in God's Word. Right? They need to be in the Word on a routine basis every day. They need to build confidence in knowing God's Word and knowing where to find stuff. That's why having them go through the Bible verses and looking them up is good. They can trust God's Word. You may have to go back and help them understand why God's Word is trustworthy. Oftentimes we say we believe things, even in like Genesis, for example, or Revelation, but truth of the matter is we say we believe them, but when we're put on the spot to actually talk about them or apply them to our lives and to take our wrong thoughts captive, right, and replace them with God's honor, truth, right, to replace the lie that we're believing with the truth, then we find that even though we say we believe them, that we have confidence in God's Word, that our confidence still needs to be built, right? And so you can participate in that process as you're discipling them. So build confidence in God's Word. Item B, clarify correct expectations, right? So what does it look like to be struggling? What does it look like to be growing in our faith? What does it look like to have a hope even in the face of such tragedy and despair? What can we really expect from God? What can we expect from us, right, in our fallen state? What can we expect from others who are trying to help us but still are in a fallen state? Versus what we can expect from God, right? Who always desires the best for us. And He's with us through all things, right? So clarifying kind of what the road might look like going forward is probably an important aspect in talking about hope. We don't want false hope that tomorrow they're going to wake up and everything's going to be just great. It doesn't work that way, and I think we all know that. But you, when you're struggling, and you've been there, you try to reach out to something, and you'll even grab false hope. So let's make sure that we have correct expectations for that hope, that blessed confidence in Christ. All right. Number C on your outline, letter C, identify blessings of God. Identify the blessings of God. So Scripture is full of blessings, and you can do full studies on that. So just go to a few blessings. But the idea here is to help them see how God has blessed them in the past, is currently blessing them in other areas of their life, and blessing those around them, even though they don't deserve it. And sometimes they get frustrated, right? Because they have others who don't, around them in their circles of influence, who don't believe in Jesus Christ. And maybe they're even amoral, or I should say, maybe they're even not good people, right? Intending bad for things. Have some questionable character. But yet God seems to be blessing them, right? And they'll ask those questions, and so you can get some good answers to those. I've got some books that can help you. There's some pamphlets that we have that can help you. And you can go online and in your Bible, and you'll find some of those answers. That God does pour out blessings on the righteous and the unrighteous. And just because they're getting blessings now doesn't mean that God is not just. He is just. And there will be a price to pay for that. Right? But that's between them and God. Right? But let's not let that pull away from the blessings that they do have, that we have in God. Right? All right. 4D on your outline. Establish the reliability of God. The reliability of God. So what are we talking about here? Well, we're talking about the basic confidence in God's word that they will find peace. And in general, they're going to find answers to their struggles in the scripture. That God's word, not only is there blessings, not only can they have confidence in it, but it is also reliable. And God himself is reliable. And we can see that in the life of Christ. We can see that in the Old Testament promises, right? And the fulfillment of in the New Testament of those promises and those covenants. Right? So there's reliability of God. No one can ever say God's not reliable. Right? And it's that reliability that gives us confidence. And that drives hope for the counselee. That they can have hope. Because they've hoped in a lot of things. They've hoped in psychology. They've hoped in a do-it-yourselfer book. They've hoped in all kinds of things. False hope. And sometimes they've hoped in other things like entertainment or alcohol or mood-altering situations so that they can forget. Even though they know it's a false hope, right? Because it always comes back and it's worse the next day. Right? So let's establish reliability in God's word. So there's past, present, and future. So past. What did Jesus already do? Well, his cross, the work on the cross, his atonement, the fact that we are adopted as sons and daughters, right? The key verb here, the key action is hope, a want or an intention. The person struggling that you're discipling desires, they have a want, they have an intention to find hope. You don't need to manufacture it, you just need to point them to it, right? So help them to believe, to have trust, and to have assurance based on the past of what Jesus has already done. In the present, where is God's Spirit? Well, the God's Spirit is with us, right? At Pentecost, God's Spirit, the Holy Spirit's always been here, has always been working, has always been with the Trinity from day one, and will be through all eternity, if there is a day one. You know, the Godhead obviously has been here for all eternity and will be here for all eternity. But when the earth was created, it was the Holy Spirit that was hovering over the earth, right? The Holy Spirit did lots of miraculous work in the Old Testament. The Holy Spirit was with Jesus when he walked the earth as fully God and fully man. The Holy Spirit was given to us as a helper at Pentecost for the church age when Christ was ascended. So there's a lot of present help and hope in the Holy Spirit, in God's Spirit. Spirit of control, that we might be able to endure, that we might be able to protect. The Spirit convicts us of our sin. The Spirit shows us the way out. The Spirit interprets Scripture, opens our eyes that we might understand. The Spirit does amazing work. The Spirit is here to protect us. In the future, what has God promised? Right? Past, present, future, reliability of God. In the future, God will confirm, God will close what he has started. He will complete it. There will be a second coming, a second advent. Right? It's a confidence of expectation. We will wait and we will expect. There's over 100 examples of hope in the Bible for the future. Just look at it. It's all over the Old Testament and the New Testament, pointing to some of those scriptures on hope. All right, moving on to item 5 in your outline. Praying for those that we disciple. How do we pray for those that we disciple? Well, here's 3 quick points for you as we start to wrap up today. First one is ask the Holy Spirit to lead in His Word. So pray with them. Pray that the Holy Spirit would open their eyes, would point them to where they should be in the Scripture, would interpret the Scripture for them, would give them consolation or console their souls as they're going through these trials and these struggles, as they're losing hope, right? The first foremost of the Holy Spirit's work is key, right? And we do that through prayer. Second, we want to pray that they would come to know Jesus Christ, not just about Jesus Christ. To have a relationship with someone, you have to know them intimately. So do they talk with Jesus? Do they walk with Jesus? What does that look like? What do you mean? Explain to them. Show them. Even demonstrate how to pray. Right? Are they being honest? Are they being open? Are they truly pouring out their hearts? Are they crying out to the Lord to let them know of their frustration and their struggling and their hurt while they're thanking God and they're asking for God's help? Show them what that looks like. And then when they're reading the Bible, that's God's love letter to them, right? And Jesus Christ is the Word in human flesh, fully God and fully man. So in Christ's life, we get to see the best picture of who God is right there. Have them come to know Jesus Christ. Have a close relationship with Jesus Christ. Third thing to pray with them for is for them to experience hope. Right? To experience hope. Not just learn about it, but truly experience hope. Right? It's the true answer for the longing that's deep in their heart. And that hope has a name. And that name is our Messiah, Jesus Christ. That is the hope. The hope doesn't come in anything else but Jesus Christ. And that is the whole point of discipling them. They can't have hope in us because we'll let them down. Their spouse will let them down. Their parents will let them down. Their pastors will let them down. It's just the way it is. But Christ will never let them down. Teach them, help them to know that Jesus Christ is their experience of hope for this trial and for all future trials that come. Homework ideas. I told you I was going to get to that. Well, at this point, hopefully, you've established through communication and understanding, and if it takes a couple times with them, that's fine. Do they really believe in God? Do they believe that God is good? Do they believe that God answers prayers? Is God really in charge? Is God sovereign? Is God really good? Does God want and desire their goodness? And what really gives God glory, right, through all of this? Right? Do they believe in God's Word? And do they put that belief into action? In other words, do they obey God's Word? Right? That is the process that they're going to have to move through in order to deal with these trials and to deal with them with a hope. And there's great books out there on spiritual depression and others. And if you're struggling with that, or you know someone who is struggling with that, come see us. We'd be happy to go over that with you a little bit and give you some additional information on that. But understand, we are all, as saints, brothers and sisters in Christ, capable, very, very capable, to counsel one another, to disciple one another. And we are mandated to come alongside one another And it's not just a choice. It's a requirement of being in the body. All right. So let's take a quick look at some homework. So what are we talking about here? Well, so here's some things that I would consider. And you can say, hey, I'm going to meet with you tomorrow. I'll give you a call tomorrow. We'll meet later this week, maybe next week, whatever. Try to set a firm date and time. And even if you don't have this available for them, send them a follow-up email saying, hey, it was great to meet with you. I'm praying for you. You know, I saw this in you, and that's really a high point for me. The Lord will keep you through this. The Lord will grow you through this. And here's some things I would suggest. And then you list some of these things out. For example, you can give them a couple key scriptures, not a lot. Don't bury them. No more than one per day, I would say at first, between now and the next time you're going to get together. But find some of those key scriptures that speak to their struggles. And then just pray that the Holy Spirit will use them. Have them not only meditate on some of those key scriptures, but have them memorize one. Just pick one, and a shorter one. But just have them memorize one that's going to really hit home. They can put an index card, put it in their back pocket, that you're going to quiz them on it, and just tell them the value of memorizing scripture. When they go through those other verses you're having them read, have them just jot down. They don't have to necessarily journal, but just have them jot down in a notebook or on their iPod device or something. Just, you know, what came to you when you read this and you prayed about it and you prayed it back. And have them pray these verses back to God within the application of the situation that they're in, right? But if they keep some notes on this, it's going to be much more valuable when you get together again. And they can always email you their thoughts, especially if they're excited about what they're reading in Scripture. And then, of course, the Psalms. Praying back the Psalms would be great. There's many more Psalms of Hope. Everything from Psalm 1 for God's blessing to Psalm 51 for mercy. Continued hope is Psalm 71. That would be another good one for us. Hope fulfilled is Psalm 146. And so maybe we can look at some of these in the future, but there are other psalms you could have them look at as well. Again, don't overburden them, but the primary thing is to leave them with something tangible to draw them back to God's Word and prayer and deep thought. Maybe give them something physical to do, such as meeting up with a Bible study group, meeting up with some friends for a walk, reaching out to someone else who's struggling, coming to church again next Sunday, whatever it might be. Okay? So, we are out of time today, but hopefully you took away this whole idea of Psalm 46 and how to disciple with hope. And the importance of the counselee or the disciple, the person that you're, or disciplee that you're working with, discovering hope and holding on to it. Because God is our strength. He is our refuge. He is our help in present trouble. And that's the whole point of Psalm 46. All right. Well, we'll go ahead and close here in prayer. And you'll be released to church. Thank you for coming today.